One game, winner take all. Doesn't get any better than that for the National Hockey League or for us here at Real Kipper and Bourne. Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, and Jake the Snake Schultz. Did you get everybody in the right place?
Oh, yeah.
They're really actually upstairs?
Yeah.
Oh, are we off to a good start today?
It's going to be a good day.
It's going to be a great one. Wherever you're watching and listening, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary, or watching on 360 and Sportsnet Plus. We're glad you are aboard. And remember, download us if you can't catch us right here, right now. This hour, Real Kipper and Bourne, is brought to you by Bet365. Okay, guys. Often in the last few years, it seemed every once in a while when there was a big game seven, now it brought people back to when was the last time they were this excited. For me, people always brought back 94 with us in Vancouver. I know Vancouver has since had a game seven against Boston, but for whatever reason, maybe it was the being shut out in game seven that kind of put the air out of their tires. But this one tonight, to me, has got that similar same feeling for me. And I got to participate in 94. But this one for me is as exciting as it can get since I left playing hockey and into broadcasting.
Yeah. It was funny. I said to Sammy earlier today, the worst part about tonight as someone watching this is watching it. You know, it's so much better when you get that outlet, you get to play, you have a chance to get through those moments and relax by having a way somewhere to aim your energy. And just as a fan tonight, I know I see the Oilers jerseys in my neighborhood walking around the street. You just got to wait. Like, my only thought was, you know, and maybe this is just the alcoholic in me talking, is it too early for people to be pre-drinking? Is 3 p.m. or is it noon there?
Yeah.
Do you think they're at it yet?
Oh, yeah.
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 You think already?
Like, I don't think you could be expected to work today. If I'm the Edmonton mayor,
it's a national holiday.
Should be national. We have not had a championship.
So we shouldn't be working today, is what you're saying.
No championships since 93. That's a long time for Canada, let alone, you know, the Oilers going back to their last one.
Yeah. It is a long time coming here. And I'll be honest. You know, for a long time I was on team. I don't see this whole Canadian team thing. You know, like everyone's local, tribal, you want your team to win it. It's getting to the point as a Canadian where it's like, it's getting a little embarrassing. Like, can we get a cup up here? I know you don't love that part of it as much, Sammy, but like... Yeah.
No, I'm over. I've said it multiple times.
Better back here.
It really has not, turned into the juggernaut, I think, that you would have hoped. For me personally, I think the ratings were under 5 million on game six, which... To me, that number should be closer to 9 or 10. And I do believe that, I don't know where it starts for the viewership, but if it's close, then this number can get to a very high number when it comes to the number of people in Canada that would tune in at some point.
It's 40 million Canadians, Kip. If 5 million watched last game, what's that, an eighth of the country?
Yeah.
Not bad. Well, then I imagine
I think that number should be higher. But that's just
tonight.
That's just me.
I promise you, tonight it will.
Which would be great. And in a few minutes, we're extra lucky here today on Game Seven. We're going to welcome in Grant Fuhr, Hall of Fame goalie, of course, 4-time Stanley Cup champion. If he knows something a little bit about maybe what Skinner's going through, it would be Grant Fuhr. So
that's hard as a goalie too, because you can't go out and do something, right? You kind of have to
You have to prevent the bad things.
That's hard.
That's scary.
Not to, you know, as a forward, you just go forecheck. Go bang someone.
Where is this in terms of what this... We know what this would mean to Canada. We know what it would mean to Oiler fans and Fairweather fans if they want to jump on board tonight. But what does this mean for Paul Maurice and the Florida Panthers? Because I believe this is one of those where if you find a way to lose, you... This will haunt you the rest of your life. This is life altering.
It is. It is because it's either this redemption arc of a 30-year career that culminates in this championship, a guy who left Winnipeg recently and was proven correct, or it's the guy who got so close and you're the guy who couldn't get over the hump, which the worst part about that is it's not necessarily true, right? Like Bobrovsky, you could just poop his pants tonight and ruin the whole thing for him.
Mm-hmm.
you know, where it's just out of his control as a coach. But it doesn't matter.
It won't matter because nobody will remember that 20 years from now. It'll be remembered as either the coach or the goalie or the captain, Barkov, as you guys blew it.
Yep.
And you got to go back into... I don't know where the comparisons are in all of sport.
Jeff Merrick called this the biggest game in NHL history tonight, and it's like, oh, come on, what about... And you sit there and think about it, it's like, God, it's right there. Right there are some old Oilers games.
I woke up this morning nervous. Like, I've had a pit in my stomach the entire day, and I really am not an Oilers fan. I'm not a Panthers fan, clearly. But I do get the feeling that we are about to witness one of the greatest spectacles that I can remember in my lifetime. Like, I can't imagine higher stakes on both sides, right? Like, how many more... You never know how careers go. This is Connor McDavid. This could be his only real shot. You don't know how things go. Yeah. And then on the other side, facing an all-time blown lead, all-time choke job, the stakes could not be higher. It just could not be higher, boys. It's unbelievable that we get to witness this tonight.
We have Grant?
I don't know.
Do we?
Did someone buzz in our ear?
I thought I heard Derek. No?
No.
All right, then. Let's carry on. For all the reasons to set the stakes for tonight, Paul Maurice is certainly a big one. The blown lead is a big one. I just think the context of the Oilers season, starting the way they did, you know, were they 3-15 or something at one point, 3-12 maybe it was, firing the coach, finding it, going, getting down to this series. I mean, the comeback story is going to be documentary worthy one way or the other here. Well,
all right. Now we do have the Hall of Famer, Grant Fuhrer. Let's welcome him in. Four-time Stanley Cup champion, 12th all-time winning goalie, and a guy that would know a little bit about not only Skinner, maybe Bobrovsky, the rest of them, what they're going through. First of all, Fuhrer Z, thanks for joining us, man. Where are you catching game 7?
I'm actually in Hershey working our game.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, so I'm going to be multitasking tonight.
You will be, for sure. Well, listen, we so appreciate you joining us on a day like today. And just your thoughts about the Oilers coming back from 3-0, putting themselves in a position like this as a fan, as an Oiler. Where's your energy and thoughts going into tonight?
I'm just thrilled that they've got themselves in this position. I mean, they've been resilient all year long. Where when everybody's counted them out, they found a way to battle back. And to see them in this position, they've earned it. They've done it the hard way. And you know what? All you have to do is get there. It gives you a chance.
Yeah, no doubt. And then we are, you know, holding our breath going into this game. One of the things that I was saying before we had you on was, like, as a player in these big games, you can go out there and run into someone and take your energy, your nervous energy out there to chase the hockey puck. How hard is it as a goalie to keep your composure, kind of having to let the game come to you?
A little bit more difficult, but at the same time, you can't get too over-enthusiastic. You have to try and stay reasonably calm, and I'm sure both teams are going to be a little nervous for the first 10 minutes or so, and it might get a little scrambly. And if you can survive that, then everybody settles into just playing.
Hey, Grant, as a goalie, you know, we often say that, well, he's never done it. He's never been there before. But, you know, the one thing that you have in common with every other goalie is that, you know, you have to start somewhere, right? Without experience and without people believing in you. So where is Skinner now? Coming into that environment for the first time now, where they had the doubters even in the first 3 games, and to the point where people were still questioning, well, they have to get a goalie next year to try to win it. And now he's in a position where the series is tied. Is there more pressure on him to close this thing out? Would his mindset be altered a little bit in a one game winner take all?
You hope he keeps the same mindset because he's played extremely well in the last couple of games. But it's also easy to get caught up in it, and you never know until you're there the first time. So the fact that they've gone through some adversity in some of the different playoff series and such, and they went through it with Vegas last year, probably helped a little bit. But again, he's going to have some nerves to start the game. I mean, anytime you get into a game 7, even if you've been in the league for a long time, you always have nerves going into a game 7. So it's just going to be a matter of him getting through that.
Yeah, he'll have to work through that, Grant. One of the things I wonder is there comfort in having the best player in the game on your team? You know, you're looking around the room, you're like, all right, we got Wayne. We got a pretty good chance here. You know, or is it, does it not matter when you have two teams and it's about more than one person?
You know what? It's not a bad security blanket to have.
Yeah.
I can solely vouch for that one. It's nice to have that security blanket there. So you do know if you do make a mistake that they've got the talent to make up for it. So it's a good security blanket, but at the same time, you're also of the thought that you don't want to make a mistake. Mm. So, yeah, you're putting pressure on yourself, but then again, you have to try and relax and breathe a little and actually enjoy the moment.
And Fierzy, I mean, as much as we put so much stock in our star players here, you know, with your championships, you can always look back and look at the guys that didn't get as much notoriety on the third or fourth line, but there's a real pull right now on the Oilers team for players like McLeod and Fogel and Henrique off a trade in March, who are weighing in heavily on this series.
Yeah, most definitely. You can throw Connor Brown in there as well.
Yeah.
I mean, it's your unsung guys that are going to be the big stars in this. I mean, everybody knows your stars, but it's the guys that do, I call it the grunt work, where they're grinding, they're killing penalties, the hard minutes. And I could see one of those guys being a hero in this game tonight.
Yeah, you know, Connor Brown, the difference he's made, his speed difference from the, you know, regular season, he's like a totally different player, and those depth guys often come through in the big moments. What, when you guys were winning your cups, which depth players to you were able to find different levels? Tell us about some experiences of guys finding a way to contribute when they weren't your most important players.
No, you look at, go back to 84, the 1-0 game, Kevin McClellan scores the goal.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not somebody you're going to pick to score a goal. So he contributes. And then you look at our guys like Davey Hunter, Patty Hughes, Patty Conacher, Billy Carroll, guys that do the penalty killing. Mm-hmm. And the guys are trying to shut down the opposition's best forwards. And they don't get a lot of credit, but you don't win championships without them.
We're talking a four-time Stanley Cup champion, Edmonton Oiler great Grant Fuhr, as we get ready for Game 7 tonight. We mentioned Skinner, but Bobrovsky now came into this series, and those first couple of games arguably stole one or two of them, Fuhrzy. But what would he be going through right now? I kind of, watching him the other day, talking to the guys on the show, I said, it seems like he's a split second off. Where he was on top of his game on certain breakaways from forehand to backhand and getting over and cutting the post off, he is now allowing that extra split second now to be scored upon. Where is his head now coming into Game 7? What would he be going through coming into tonight?
Well, I think you have to forget everything that's happened. I mean, that's the biggest key, is you got to start fresh. And yeah, they've lost three in a row, but he also has to remember that he stole a couple of games. So you start fresh and you just battle. And his side to side maybe looks like it changed a little, whether he's a little banged up or something maybe. But the movement hasn't been as smooth in the last couple of games. But I'm going to guess you get to a Game 7 and there's all sorts of adrenaline. Not a whole lot's going to hurt till the game's over.
So, Fierzy, as a player, I can tell you at times the physical challenges as a skater, but would there be one for Bobrovsky physically at all, or do you not buy into that so much?
There can be. It depends if you're banged up or not.
Yeah.
I mean, you saw him the last series, you saw him at the beginning of this series, and all his movements were really fluid. The last couple of games, not as fluid. So it makes you wonder a little bit. But at the same time, I'm sure we're going to see his best tonight. I mean, when you've got everything on the line, that's when you want to show up. So I think both goalies are going to be good tonight, and it's going to be a low-scoring game.
Do you believe in momentum from game to game, or do you think it's purely a single-game sort of thing?
I think it goes through ebbs and flows through the whole game. I mean, you're going to see Florida have a little bit of momentum at the start because home game, you're going to have the emotion of the fans, and something you have to temper down a little bit because you can get caught up in it as well. And if they get through that, then you look at a Game 7 in little 10-minute segments. And if you can win every 10-minute segment, you're going to be successful by the end of the game.
One more for me, Fierzy, and we'll let you go because we know you got a really busy night. But just in terms of this new generation and all the championships came from your era, led by Wayne Gretzky and then Mark Messier's as well. What would a championship now with this new generation mean to the city of Edmonton?
Oh, it'd mean the world to the city of Edmonton. I mean, I think everybody realizes that hockey's first and foremost and everything else in the city comes afterwards. So it's been a drought for a little while. I think the last one was 90. So
yep.
I mean, you know, the fans are excited. You've got fans chartering a plane to come down. So that pretty much tells you how excited they are. So it's going to be huge for the city.
Well, listen, enjoy your game tonight and enjoy taking those sneak peeks at the scoreboard or quick video highlight. It's going to be a fantastic game.
We might have a couple of monitors going. There might be two games I'm watching.
Good luck to you guys too, Fierzy.
Yep.
Thanks, guys.
Okay. That is the great
Grant
Fuhr. That was awesome.
Yeah. The the amount of big games that guy played in, I'm sure he can relate to what these guys are going through.
But he's got the, if you were to have a manual, right, for goalies, like he would have written it with his demeanor, his attitude, his short-term memory, much like a golfer or putting.
Yeah. Like,
just forget about it and move on.
That's the biggest thing I was thinking for Bobrovsky, you know, and I actually used the golf analogy to someone earlier today where it's like when your game is just getting away from you and you're starting to play badly, it's really tough to say, to forget about what just happened and go back to the player you know you can be. And that's Bobrovsky in this series where, you know, that's going to be the massive challenge. Can he find the guy he's been this postseason? I don't know. I don't know if he can solve that. It just feels like Edmonton is coming downhill right now and the Panthers are at the bottom just waiting to get smoked. It's going to be tough to reverse that flow.
Game 7 into 10-minute sequences, like you said. Just very interesting to me. The first 10 minutes, I think, was obviously incredibly important to how this game is going to look. Like, to me, there's no more different looking thing than a game 7 in the semifinals or the finals. Like, I think in the first round, the second round, it's a little bit different. When you get to the big, big series, game 7, it's a completely different animal.
As someone who's participated in one once upon a time,
a little squirrely,
it is the most surreal feeling you can get. And I know ultimately when the puck drops, it's no different than any other game, any regular season game, any preseason game.
In theory.
They're all played in theory the same. But there is something very different knowing that you are playing in your last game of the season, regardless whether you win or lose, and everything is on the line. So there has to be some sort of new mental, itinerary for you to follow that you've never experienced before. This is the first time for pretty much anybody to experience someone's going home very happy and someone's going to go home feeling like their lives will never be the same ever again, knowing that that's what's on the line.
Like that made you more defensive-minded? Because to me, the thought, and I expect a low-scoring game tonight and maybe a tentative start compared to everyone expecting a lot of fireworks and flashbang, you don't want to be the guy who's not in position and blows the system for everyone else.
Yeah, I want to make it clear. I played in the first round. I never played again. I sat for like 6 weeks not playing a game and then being told you're playing game 7, right?
Yeah.
So I was surprisingly not nervous or feeling like my energy was, don't be the guy that blows this.
Okay.
I mean, it crossed my mind, but I also had, I don't know if it was a cockiness, an arrogance that I only kept to myself, but the moment I knew I was going in, I said, we're going to win because I am going to bring energy, whatever that energy means, either in the dressing room,
being the player you were,
during warm-up, on the bench. I'm going to be a different voice. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to hurry Babich and Brown and all the rest of them on that blue line. Anytime I'm on the ice, I'm going to make them move the puck faster, and that's going to do a domino effect that could lead to great things. And
that's the mindset of a pro athlete.
I never felt like we weren't going to win.
Yeah.
And I'm glad it turned out. And I'm sure there's a few Vancouver Canuck players at the time said, I'm going to be that difference too, as we all want to do that. But, you know, Florida still has players that feel that way. And the Oilers, coming off of 3 wins in a row, all feel like they're destined right now. Yeah. You can't go and do what we just did for 3 games and not close it out. That's we're destined. Mm-hmm. And
you can't even entertain the opposite. It's almost like a Looney Tunes cartoon where you run out over the cliff, and if you look down, you might. That's when you'll fall. You just can't look down. You just have to believe you're going to do it, and it's going to be fine.
Yeah,
and but just
that's,
play.
That's I think how everybody needs to feel tonight.
Yeah.
And you don't have to say it. You don't have to tell your. But you just have to go in there and feel like Fierzy said, you're gonna be the difference maker here, and it could be a third or fourth liner, mm-hmm. and in all probability. Not forget, Connor didn't have a point in
which
game
was the
6.
Least likely outcome.
Right,
that McDavid gets no points and they still
win. No shots.
Do you remember obviously who scored the 3 goals for you guys in Game 7?
I just remember Brian Leetch scoring one on a power play that, and then Mess got the winner.
Yep.
And in between that,
great buddy we've had on the show a few times. Still works for the Rangers. Adam Graves.
That's right. Power play goal.
Yeah, 2 points. So him and
I think Leetch was a power play goal too, if I'm not mistaken. Two power play goals.
Well, I'll tell you, a power play goal, some special teams movement for Florida would be good if you're trying to get the Panthers going, but the Oilers, they can keep this special teams going.
And then Linden just made us all like choke, like can't breathe right now as he brought it closer.
He had 2 goals.
And then Nathan Lafayette hit a post with about 4 minutes to go. That game is going into overtime. Mm-hmm.
You might still be playing.
On post-in.
Maybe you would be even more famous for scoring the winner, Kip.
I still have dreams about that.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
But, like, what are the odds of tonight going in overtime? Let me ask you guys that.
Well, I think extremely high. And
not great.
Sam's going to tell us the opposite, but I think it's going to be an extremely close game.
It's been 70 years since Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final required overtime. And only one team has ever won in that scenario. Red Wings both times. Tony Leswick scored the last one.
You all remember
1954.
Tony.
Yeah. And Pete Babando in 1950. So there you go.
But this is the thing. How many Game 7s have there been in the Stanley Cup Final? Maybe, I don't know what it is, a half dozen. I don't know what the exact number is. There haven't been many, and let alone to go to overtime. I mean, they could be tonight, boy.
Okay.
But this is where... You say that you're not nervous. You say that you don't think about the mistake. And that's what separates, professional athlete mindset from a normal person. But if a Game 7 goes into overtime, one stick bobble, one skate, one toe pick, and then your name is in a talking point for decades, especially if it's on the Edmonton side.
The one thing I tell players this too, if they ask me for my opinion, is that our game is really of the subconscious, and there is a flow and an energy that is repetitive, and we tend to go to muscle memory a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no time to think about sometimes when you have too much time, that's when it could seep in.
Yeah.
But if you go to your muscle memory and the way that you break out of your zone 1,000 times during the season, or the 500,000 times you've done it since you were like 12, then there's no reason why you should screw it up or be the bad guy.
It's probably easier in a game like tonight to score off a broken play or a reaction of some kind than a full ice breakaway. It would be harder to have that time and process anything. You want to just have your muscle memory, your hockey brain do the hockey, then rather than go, oh, God, if I score this, we win the Stanley Cup.
So they're going to have their nerves going in, but once that puck drops, it's the same game.
And who has quicker muscle memory and reaction and skill set than Connor McDavid off a broken play.
I go down that lineup right now and, okay, let's get into it. What do we expect tonight?
Because I love that question.
Quickly before we move on, there's been 18 game sevens in overtime, in not 18 overtime, in Stanley Cup final history. The last one was Blues beating the Bruins at TD Garden, and the one before that was the Bruins beating the Canucks in 2011 at Rogers Arena. So there's been 18.
And those were 4-0 and
5-1.
5-1, like pretty good runaways for one side.
5-1, it was a there
St.
was
Louis
a pretty
beat
big,
up on Boston bad, yeah.
Remember Petrangelo scoring a sweet backhand goal in the end of the first period that kind of put it away. Anyways, go ahead.
All right.
What do you expect?
What do we expect tonight? You want to go first?
I went with tight, right? I don't think it's going to be a scoring chance fest out of the gates is my expectation. You know, a lot of guys on the right side of the puck, tough to create. I probably think special teams will matter. Can the Oilers convert on a power play? Can they keep the Panthers' power play down? Yeah. I think that's going to make a big difference. I think Edmonton is going to win because in both situations, I favor the Oilers' special teams.
I really feel that you get to certain points of seasons and certain points of different guys' careers where some things become undeniable. And some things where one team has Connor McDavid and one team doesn't, and it's his time. But hockey doesn't always work like that. And I feel like everyone is saying the momentum is on Edmonton's side. Everything's moving towards Edmonton. They're a runaway train. But they still got to win a hockey game tonight.
They do against a very good
and
team.
A very good team on their home ice. I'm really rooting for Edmonton now. But I think this is going to be a lot tighter than a lot of Oilers fans want this to be, is what I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm. I called the Florida Panthers in 7 games. And it was based on that Florida Panthers look that we've pretty much seen all season long and marveled at.
Mm-hmm.
But what I've seen in the last 3 games, that look is gone.
Gone. They look terrified now.
I don't know if they look terrified, but whatever the it factor was for their success is no longer dependable. It could have flashes that we saw in game 6. I thought their best hockey, the Florida Panthers, in this 3-game skid was after they got denied the challenge, where it was like they're kind of freeing up a little bit. They had a little bit of a push, but it's not remotely enough.
Well, they've done it by being a grinding physical team, a capital T unit,
JB,
that works together.
Their forecheck game has disappeared that made them dominant.
Yeah.
And
it's a long season.
Do you see it coming back tonight at home? I'm not saying that it won't, because I don't want to disrespect what they've been able to do all season long. I just don't like their chances of having that look back after what I've watched for 3 games.
Yeah, it does feel like whether they're tired or they're hurt or Edmonton's figured something out that they have.
Oilers are the better forechecking team.
Yeah, the Oilers look faster right now. I think the line of Janmark, Brown, and Henrik are smart and skating well, and they've made a huge difference.
They're winning more battles on the wall.
Yeah. Yeah, no,
they're getting better.
They got forward depth. It's incredible to watch.
You mentioned that offside, and I really do think there's an alternate universe where that goal counts, and the Panthers win that game. Where they gave up that goal, they were like, everyone was like, "Oh my god, they're going to get starched here." They immediately score it, and it's kind of like, "Oh, they're coming back in," and then they go down 2-0, and they can't get back into that game.
The video coach,
so you know what?
That to me,
you go to that goal. I go back to the 8-1 shellacking in game 4.
Did that broke them a bit?
That one may have bled them out. Okay, that was just not a loss. That was a beating. And I think for Florida to have thrown that as a throwaway game was maybe also a mistake. We'll see how it plays out tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But that one was much different from any other team, and there's only been 4 that have come back from 3-0 in any series.
Yeah.
But that 8-1 shellacking was more than just a loss. It was a mindset game series changer.
I went to my computer the second that game was over, and I wrote the path back for Edmonton this series because you could see it. You could see a variety of ways. The scales were kind of tipping Edmonton's way, and there was a way back in here. And, you know, the only thing right now, you know, there is that they are still the Florida Panthers, and it is still hockey. You know, like, everything is in Edmonton's favor, in my opinion. But the Panthers have been awesome at home. They're the best home team in the NHL this regular season. Oilers not the best road team. I think Oilers are 7-5 in the postseason on the road. Oilers, or Panthers, very good at home. So, you know, there's that. There's the fact that Stu Skinner has been so flawless. But do we think he's Shesterkin or Vasilevsky? No. You know, so there are a few looming things that's like, it feels like Edmonton, but there's a couple of booby traps to get around.
And Stuart Skinner in games 4-7 this postseason, 10-0, 1-5-0, 940 with a shutout.
Do you think he's that guy? Or do you think that's due for regression?
Maybe he is. Maybe he's Fuhrer, who just has big games and big spots. Like, yeah. I don't know.
You're right.
I'll tell you another thing, too, is if Florida finds a way to score a power play goal or two, which they've done all season long, like, it's been momentum sapping for
them. It's Leafs-esque right now.
Okay?
It's Leafs-esque.
It is. It's another reason why they're sinking, is that that not only are they not scoring on it, they got to defend it. Mm-hmm. And think about the upcoming. Think about you've been on benches. Think about what a great power play does for the next shift up. And if you're on the heel, if your best players are out there on their heels on their power play, how does that make you feel on your next shift?
Yeah,
It's killing Florida right now.
Oh, it's salmon swimming upstream. It just feels like you're going against the current, for sure. We should...
We'll take a break, and then we'll come back. We got some audio still from both coaches, from Zach Hyman, and a good clip today. So, play some of that.
Clippers yes, sir. Making the rounds. All right.
Let's go.
That and more when we return. Game 7, after these words.
Diving deep into Leafs, Raptors, Jays, and NFL. The J.D. Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Still plenty to go here on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Got some Kippers Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
We've got some news and notes around the league. But first of all, Sammy, game time.
It's game time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. It's 19+, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Clearly, there's a rather large hockey game to be played this evening. If we're looking at the money line, the Edmonton Oilers are -115. The Florida Panthers are -105. Vegas has, or Bet365 has no idea either. So, I mean, turn your mic on and
say that again.
It is -115 for the Edmonton Oilers, -105.
Your favorite tonight in Florida.
Slight favorites. So, you know, they're not giving you a ton of value either side here. They have absolutely no idea, but they're leaning Edmonton. I just think, like Kipper's mentioned, they watched the last couple games here, and it just feels like Edmonton is doing everything that the Florida Panthers can't contain.
Are you surprised at that?
Totally healthy Florida Panthers team at home. Yeah, I am surprised.
Yeah.
You know, that's they played in Florida several times in the series, and Edmonton was never the favorite in any of those games. So the tides have turned by the books.
And
you would think everybody's kind of leaning towards Edmonton tonight.
I do think that's a little bit the books in Canada protecting themselves a bit.
But a public money coming in.
The money is so heavy on Edmonton, they're going, and it's moving the line.
Yeah.
Not necessarily predicting the winner.
And a quick same gamer here, that's +375. Leon Draisaitl to score a goal, Connor McDavid 1 point, and Edmonton Oilers to score first is +375 on Bet365.
What a fun night.
And how important.
That's what I mean.
Is that first goal.
Like, but tonight, more important.
Florida goes down 1-0, and I think Matthew Tkachuk kind of said the other day, or it's going to be the loudest building, you know, I've ever heard.
Oh, he's
which
wrong because he which, just played in the loudest building he's ever heard.
Yes,
yeah.
Well, what it is, it's kind of like it's the lawyer leading the witness.
Oh,
right?
For sure. It's like, this is going to be loud, right?
Hey, all you fans, I'm talking to you, right? Yeah. It's going to be the loudest because we just heard the loudest, and we need you really badly. That's what Matthew Tkachuk was saying.
I got to tell you, I think Matthew Tkachuk's going to be in for a surprise when it's a 25% Oilers crowd tonight.
I think
tickets, the get-in price we said was $1,100.
Luke was saying that it's $1,100 to get in the building tonight.
And if you're an Edmonton Oilers fan, that is
I'm telling you,
nothing.
That is so cheap for a championship game.
You know the cup is getting handed out.
If the Leafs were there, I'm flying down there and paying that.
We were $5,000-$10,000 at MSG in 1994.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and if you want
to got in Leafs game 7 first round for that.
No.
Compare it to NBA and a Super Bowl ticket. No. It's like getting in for free.
So
we really talked it down to free. And it's cheap for the game.
The total is 5.5. The under 5.5 is a pretty big favorite. The over is plus 125, minus 150 for the under 5.5. So they're expecting a tight, low-scoring game like you had mentioned earlier in the show, Borny. So that's all the odds I got for you today. That was Game Time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds. Find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play it responsibly.
All right. Early in the show, I reminisced about my Game 7 experience in a Stanley Cup championship game. Let's get Zach Hyman's on playing Game 7.
Yeah, it's our sixth elimination game, so we're used to being in this position. Obviously, it's the first time we have the ability to win, right, which is an amazing opportunity. But all those games you play as if it's a Game 7 because it's your last game of the season. So just treat it the same.
I can't help but think that this is the first time the Florida Panthers have their backs up against the wall. That's a tough, scrappy team.
Mm-hmm.
And to put them away is not going to be an easy feat. I do think it changes that dynamic a little bit, that this time they can
We weren't 3-0. We were 3-1 up. And for Vancouver to win two games in a row and come into our barn, I'm telling you, it was not a great feeling when people were really rallying around the Canucks on momentum. And I think 3-1 isn't 3-0, but to Sammy, your point earlier, like the expectations now that momentum and that is going to keep continuing. Well, let's just see what that first goal does.
Yeah. Got to get in the ring and fight,
right?
No one's laying
it
down.
It can come to a screeching halt with a Florida Panther goal 3 minutes in.
Mm-hmm.
And now Oilers are on their heels.
See, everyone knows the first goal is crucial, but if Edmonton opens it up, like if they have to chase the game a little bit and all of a sudden Nurse is rushing up the ice and, you know, Broberg's trying to make a stretch pass, you could find a couple going the other way quick too. So this first goal, boy, huh?
All right, let's go to Knobloch on his thoughts heading into Game 7.
We feel good about our team. I think when the stakes have been the highest, when our backs have been up against the wall, they've just been resilient and played really well. And I think this game is no different for us. We're going to treat it the same. And I think everyone's excited for 8 o'clock to start or to be here so we can get this game going. I think it's, should be a good one.
That's the best I got for this.
Could he be?
This guy.
Boys, that's the best I got.
Oh my God.
Hey, could he be more relaxed than Paul Maurice right now?
Yeah, maybe.
That's honestly the best I got. I'm sorry.
I hope when he goes home and has like a whiskey or something, he's got something to say.
He's just a bad mouth. He just starts swearing.
So we got a couple of Paul Maurice Kippers Clippers. I've not heard them.
Okay.
But are we still getting kind of a charming
Probably not.
Personality?
I listened to it today.
Levity in there at all?
Yeah. Somebody asked him actually about him getting drafted like 40 years ago. Which was an interesting question.
He was drafted.
Pardon?
Yeah, I think he was drafted by the Flyers.
Yeah, but he got asked about it.
Well, we went to camp together, right?
Yeah, really?
But I couldn't remember if he was drafted or I got invited as a PTO back then. I thought he was a PTO, but he was actually drafted.
Out of questions at this point?
I don't know. Somebody asked him a question. He was caught off guard by it. But I didn't cut that clip because it was he waxed. Who cares? It's a Game 7. Coaching a Game 7 is an interesting answer. It's his first one, so we'll go to clip one, please.
The biggest part of it is built over years, right? It's built over time. So the X's and O's part, you're as dialed as you're going to be on that. We'll go through it. The basics of it, and that is to set a tone and a mood that allows them to play with a certain amount of freedom in that game, that you encourage that in the style that we play, in the hockey that we play, that it's not so much you're encouraging the hero mentality, because I don't really think one guy trying to go coast to coast on our group helps us very much, but certainly embracing the opportunity to make the hard great plays.
Make the hard great plays is a good line.
Yeah.
I mean,
what do you think of the tone there?
To me,
I think it's good.
I think he hit it.
You know, there's nothing cute or, you know, it's just.
And you got to let them play. You got to free them up to play.
Yeah, it's not X's and O's. It's like, you know, you got to almost think like from the moment you put on skates to tonight, everything was a dress rehearsal for this moment.
So true. Okay? Like, that's the whole point you do.
Everything was built to get to this.
The one thing we all have in common in this room is we have all pretended it's game seven of the Stanley Cup final in some point of our life. Some
I was more of a game
hockey.
Five guy.
And then there's
I had pictured myself facing elimination down 3-0.
And there's going to be someone in both rooms tonight will utter the same words that Mark Messier did, Steve Larmer, Kevin Lowe said. Win tonight, and we walk together the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
And that's the
difference. I just got chills, bud.
That's the difference
between... Meanwhile, my cynical self, someone says in the dressing room, I'm like, boo!
No,
that's the difference between this game and any other you've played in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And
you've a chance.
We had 30th anniversary,
yeah,
you know, last week.
It's,
and
no,
we
it's
were
obviously
on,
not
there's,
wrong.
There's 20 of us on a group chat just, you know,
yeah,
laughing and ripping on each other. And it's like, you know.
So you have a
so funny too. You lose that game seven. There's no group chat.
If you have a chance to be in Florida and for 20s of people, and in Edmonton, millions of people will remember you. So, 20s of people will remember you in Florida.
The best part is anyone even get mad at you for all this Panther fans slander?
No, that's why I do it. I mean, last year I ended up on Panthers Reddit after one of the release talks, where I was particularly condescending towards them, but that's okay. I don't care.
Whatever.
They'll be fine. It's nice there. Want to hear the last clip? There you go. Want to hear the last clip? Pressure?
Wrap it up.
All right, clip two, please.
I think sevens are just a completely unique animal. I don't think it relates in terms of pressure to anything, because there is no tomorrow. So it's a completely different feel. I think we've been immersed in the weight of it for a week. We've been through two or three games, so there's not a new experience for us in this, other than it's also a game seven. I think both teams come out flat out as fast as they possibly can. I think that's going to be the manifestation of all of this. As much as they love interacting with you people, as often as we have been afforded the opportunity over the last, they can just drop the puck and play hockey, and that will be a nice thing for them.
Yeah, you think it's going to be a low-scoring game?
I don't know. I just think it's going to be a tight start. I think it's going to be tough to get the first one.
But somebody's going to make... The game's based on mistakes, as subtle as they sometimes...
Trying to make them make a mistake.
Somebody going to get caught? Is it a 3-on-2? Is it a 2-on-1? Is it an intercepted puck?
I would like to see a goal or two early, so someone has to open it up so some more can happen. Because the more goals we get early, the more goals we're going to get. People taking chances, playing catch-up.
If Florida chases it like it did before, I don't like their chances.
No.
Right? Here's an interesting stat for you guys. Home teams in Game 7 of Championship Series dating back to 2014.
Is this just NHL?
All sports?
No.
All sports.
NBA, Major League Baseball.
Can I hazard a guess?
Yeah.
That it's not great.
Let's hear it.
I think they're well under 500. I don't know what the
number is. No. Just,
what do you mean?
Like, how many losses?
Oh, I don't know.
For home teams in Game 7.
I think a lot. That's my guess. What is it?
6. 2014, Royals lost. 2016, Warriors lost. 2016, Guardians lost. 2017, Dodgers lost. 2019, the Bruins lost. 2019, the Astros lost. This will be the 7th Game 7 at home.
And every time, the last 6, it's been the home team that lost?
Lost.
I thought
seven lucky or unlucky.
I thought they would be bad, but that's crazy.
Six in a row.
Actually, that Guardians, is the best sporting event in the history of the world. The Cubs and Guardians, 2016, went to extra innings, rain delay. Unreal. Don't remember?
No.
Rajay Davis had a game-tying home run, bottom of the...
I vaguely remember.
Anyways.
Hey, don't doubt Sammy.
Yeah. Matt Vasgersian on the call. Santa Maria! It was great. Yeah. It was unbelievable.
That's a good one, eh?
Really good.
It is.
Really good.
Yeah, that's what I do around here, homework.
Yeah, you're stats man. You're mining the stats.
Thanks to Greg for sending me that.
I'm evolving.
I don't really want to turn the page to other news.
No?
We got 5 minutes left in the show.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's game seven.
Mm-hmm.
We're really going to talk about Joseph Woll right now?
Sure. I don't know. What do you want? Then what would
time? If we don't, there's a chance that Sammy can combust.
No.
And I don't want to leave Blair and Barker, Sammy on the wall on their show.
How about this?
No, let's leave him on the wall.
Let's leave him.
Yeah.
Where is the Conn Smythe race at?
Oh, my God. It's over.
Over.
Regardless.
Over.
Bob gets a shout out tonight and Panthers win the cup.
Jesus.
Listen, if hey,
oh, crap. If, hey, crap.
Bob, if Bob steals this with a historical shutdown, I'll have that conversation.
Because McDavid could conceivably get 0 points in game six and game seven and lose the Stanley Cup. And
I'll have that conversation.
Conceivably. But I do not think that's the outcome. I think it's more like he gets 5 points than zero.
But I cannot see McDavid losing it in game seven, regardless of the outcome.
That to me is the one factor I can't shake when you look at tonight's hockey game is 97. Like, he is not the ascendant great one at 21 years old. This is our next great, our game's next great star. He's not at the end of a great career in Ode One. He is at his peak. Mm-hmm. No one in the world can do what he does.
The one guy that did impress me in game six for Florida was Barkov.
Yeah.
And
he scored two goals.
I love the challenge right now between Barkov and McDavid tonight.
It says something to me that Barkov answered back twice in that game. Like, he didn't go away from the challenge.
No, and he's not going away
McDavid
tonight.
McDavid got no points. He put two in the net. Yeah, they lose the game, but he was good.
To me, that's the challenge. The inner challenge of this hockey game is just those two.
And Tkachuk had game five where he looked like a player.
That game.
Reinhardt still hasn't done the Reinhardt thing yet.
That Barkov goal was filthy, by the way.
That was.
It didn't get the credit it probably should have deserved.
Really nice.
Skinner wasn't within 3 feet of stopping that hockey.
So you mentioned you're asking about the Conn Smythe. Thought I would give a bonus bet 365 odds here for the Conn Smythe. Connor McDavid is -1600 to win.
Oh, my stars.
So if you think that there's value Bobrovsky's going to, in our little world,
what's Bob now?
20 to 1.
20 to 1?
Yeah. They think it's over.
So you need a shutout. Do you not? Dude, Florida can't win 5-4 or 4-3.
No,
they can't. And give it to
him. They can't. But everyone is giving McDavid the Conn Smythe here?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
buddy, there's only it's only been Wayne and Mario that have come close to his point totals, got the assist record. It's like, Richard Steele, stop the fight.
2 points in the cup final, and he'll have the most points ever in a cup final, tied with Gretzky, I believe, and one more point, and he ties Lemieux and someone else for the first time in the final. Most points, first time in a final.
Yeah.
It's somewhere in here, but.
I got it here.
Yeah,
he needs 1 point to match Mario Lemieux and Daniel Briere for the most points by a player in their first career trip to the Stanley Cup final, and two to equal Wayne Gretzky's record for most player in any final 13. But Daddy already has taken down one Gretzky record this postseason, most assists in a playoff year. Imagine a 3-point night and a win.
The most points in the cup final ever. The Oilers can be the second team in NHL history to win the cup after sitting 10 plus points out of a playoff spot in the regular season.
All right.
Blues are the last team. Berube, that's the Leafs coach. You know what, boys? I'm just upset about that wall contract.
Sammy, we're on the air till July, buddy. Plenty of time.
I don't know about that.
In the meantime,
what about Mark
Savard?
That's the biggest news of the day, boys.
So I was so excited about Game 7. I got ribs cooking right now.
My parents, coming down for the game.
Pineapple barbecue ribs.
Oh, my God.
I go on Instagram and I find recipes. I don't care about NHL news. I find recipes now.
I got a Boston Pizza Pie coming my way.
And my parents are coming down. We're watching the game together.
Enjoy your historic Game 7. The Real Kipper and Bourne Show will be back tomorrow to dice it all up for you. Have a great time, everybody.
Oh, well.